Amen. Turn to Ephesians. It's like, Pastor, will you ever find another book? No. Ephesians is a book for the individual to grow the church. Okay? And how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the midst of being the local expression of the body of Jesus Christ. Today's title is, We Must All Walk in the Light. It's not just for the individual, it's for all of us. And we're going to start with Ephesians 5. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. Ready? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live in the life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any other kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and of all truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But in everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. There's a whole lot in there, and I've been taking parts of this apart. Last week we dealt with how our speech is tied to our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And what's in our heart is eventually going to be squeezed out through the pressures and tribulations of our lives, and it's not going to be really pretty. That's why we need to fill our hearts up with good things. But before we can fill our hearts with good things, we need to examine the heart. For out of the heart the issues of life flow. What is in your heart? What has God placed in your heart that you're suppressing? That you're not willing to allow God to flow freely from you? You see, the body of Jesus Christ is to flow freely in love, freely in truth, freely in relating one to another. There should not be anything that would hinder us from relating to each other. That doesn't mean that we expose ourselves to everyone and just, you know, the inner workings of our hearts. No, we need to be discreet. We need to be wise about how we conduct ourselves. But most importantly, we need to be honest before God as to what is in our heart. Amen? Paul is exhorting us as new creations to no longer live less than what we have been created for. We are kings and priests unto God. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's who we are. That's not who we think we are. That's who God says we are. And until you begin to start cultivating that mindset, you are so far missing the point of what God is trying to do with your life and trying to do in the life of the church that we retard we don't frustrate Him, but we do retard the best for our lives that He wants to put into us to use through us. And there are people who just will not do what God wants done. And that's why it talks about idolaters. Idolatry is not just limited to a person who's greedy or selfish or is immoral. An idolater is a self-centered person who is not thinking about the kingdom, not looking to anything but how it benefits himself. And that's not what this is all about. If Jesus thought about it, we'd all be dead and we'd all go to hell. But Jesus thought past that. He looked past the cross. He saw what good things were going to come, and that was you guys. He saw each and every one of you, and myself included, coming to him, knowing our need. And we have to begin to really realize that this is for real. This is not some pie in the sky type of thing. This is either your life or it's not. We had a discussion with an individual recently, and I asked this individual, I just said, you know, what's in your heart? What is God saying? Something real simple. Couldn't give me an answer, which is okay. But you have to be honest with yourself first. You know, we have to deal with truth and honesty within ourselves first before we can make a progression into dealing with issues that flow out of our lives. If we're so busy trying to please everybody else and we're not pleasing God, what are we doing? We become schizophrenic. We become living in a society that is a man pleaser. And we need to be God pleasers first. It doesn't matter what my wife says to me. It matters what God says. And if she doesn't line up with what God is saying, then it's my responsibility as the high priest of my house to educate her in a way that brings glory to God. Most women, if we look at what happens, they have an idea of what God says, but they don't understand the deeper truths. And that's the responsibility of men. And we're going to talk about submission later on, and what that looks like in a marriage, and how commitment comes into play in there, and how we're supposed to live godly before our children, our families, but more importantly, before God. We have to be a type of people that is willing to allow the light, the gospel, the word of truth to come upon our hearts and judge and expose the darkness that is in there. Because if we don't, we will live a life of repression and bondage, trying to hide this stuff, always trying to make advances, but we got a chain that's locked to our ankle that is set back at the root. And Jesus broke that. When he died on the cross, he broke that over each and every one of us. We are not capable of carrying our past. That's why we nail it to the cross. That's why we nail the sin to the cross. And we move on in Jesus Christ. That's why he has made you and me new creations. And that's why he's able to call us friends. That's why he calls us kings and priests, part of a royal household. And we just don't get it. We think that coming to church is the scope of it. You are absolutely missing the point. Coming to church is where we come to hear the word of truth, to be convicted of our sin, to repent and be built up one unto another, so we can go out there and make a difference in the world. Not to sit here and play church. We have to stop embracing the darkness. We have to jettison it. We have to stop thinking about what we want and our selfishness and self-centeredness. And we need to start looking to see what it is that God wants for us. What is it that he wants to use me for? But I'm afraid, Pastor. Get past it. If the founders were afraid, they would have still been subjected to the King of England, and we would be speaking British or English and not speaking American. We would not have the freedoms that we have in this country. Were they afraid? Yeah, fear is a reality. But that, they turned into courage. They didn't want to live under suppressive government. And believe it or not, those who are still chained around in their bondages that are in there are living under a suppressive government of darkness. They're ignorant to the facts of how God has come here and defeated the enemy, has bought us with a price, has redeemed us from the punishment we so deserve, and yet we stand around like it was Jesus did us a favor. And we can continue living like we want to live. That is not what it's about. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to understand that the punishment of God is real. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Are we there? It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have this confidence to enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," what He has done, not by our merits, not by our lofty living, "by a new and living way was opened for us through the curtain, that is His body." What He has suffered on our behalf, what He has done for us, "and since we have a great priest over the house of God, He makes intercession for us, He finds out what God's will is for us, and then He tells us what He wants done." What has God said to you that you're not willing to do? Delayed obedience is still disobedience. "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, set him apart, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay. Again, the Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." God is saying here that when we came and got saved, we have a new life. We have a living way in which through Jesus Christ we can have a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus. We can have a relationship with His Son. But we also can have a relationship with His Spirit. But if we have tasted the goodness of the kingdom, the goodness of the kingdom is being set free from sin and death. Jesus did not defeat the power of sin. He broke the power of sin over our lives so that we could either choose to sin or not to choose to sin. And in that choice, God holds us accountable. And when we sin, what happens when we sin? We separate ourselves from God. And in that separation from God, we begin to separate ourselves from each other. We play the game. We come to church and everything's hunky-dory. But there's no real depth of relationship. There's no truth to the reality. And so what we do is we live an alternative or an altered reality that is not based on truth. It's not based on the realities of God. It's based on what I want, what I desire, how I feel, what I want done, what I need. And we just saw that's called idolatry. Do we have a pure heart before God? Is our conscience clean? Can we honestly say that we're doing everything that God has told us to do, when we're doing it to the best of our ability? I would say no. I would say no. Why? Because we don't believe the word of truth. We don't believe that God's going to punish all the disobedient. We don't believe, because after all, God's a good God. He's got grace for us, Pastor. Yeah, He does. But that grace is to propel you into greater things. It's to promote you to do good works, not for yourself, but for someone else. It is to exemplify Jesus Christ. It is not grace to continue to sin. Look at Romans, and it tells you that. Where grace abounds, do we sin all the more? God forbid. You see, the church hasn't understood grace. The grace of God is not to cover our sin. The grace of God is to expose it so that we can come out of our cocoon of sin and death and become the regal people of God, the holy people of God. We leave that behind. And that's what the cross is all about. We don't need to sit at the cross. We need to die at the cross and begin to live this new life in Jesus Christ. Because if we don't live this life, if we're still afraid, if we're still selfish and self-centered, then we don't know who God is, and we don't have a relationship with Him. We're still dead in our trespasses and sin. Many today in the church believe that they could still do what they want to do. And that's a deception. Many believe that God will forgive them of their sin. He has already done that. But if you choose, after you've come to Jesus Christ, and you continue in your sin, there is a process. And that process is what? Repentance. It's repentance. When we agree with God, repentance is agreeing with God that we've sinned, and we turn away from that sin and we move back. He gives us the privilege of seeing all the death and destruction that we've created. And He works with us to bring a redemptive purpose into those relationships. But if we turn away from that and we head back into our sin, the Bible says there is no longer. There is no longer a forgiveness of sin. Now, God is bigger than our sin. God is ever forgiving, and there is tremendous grace that He pours out. But I don't want to emphasize our sin. I want to emphasize the grace. The grace is supposed to help mature us, to leave back the beggarly things of this world. It's not to do the same things as everybody else is doing. It's not to get caught up in all the other stuff. I'll give you an example out of my own personal life. The kids were growing up and they wanted to play in sports. I said, you got 6 days to do that. Sunday, you're not going anywhere. We're going to hear the word of God. We're going to serve. We're going to do this, this, and this. But Dad, there's no buts about it. I didn't die for you. He died for you. My job is to raise you up in the admonition of Jesus Christ. To present you so that you can go and live your life. Did we do things on Sunday? Very rarely. Very rarely. But sports was not one of them. We didn't get involved in the world. We didn't let the world dictate to us. And because of it, God has found me faithful to a point where He says now that His favor, I walked with Him for 30 years, now His favor is about to overtake me, which is a great thing. Maybe some of the things that's going on in your life, you're hitting walls, is because you have not done what God has asked you to do. And the way to getting back is repent. Immediately put into action those things that He has told you to do. Get it under the blood. Forget about it. There's no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. But do it. Move it. Don't sit back and say, oh, I got till tomorrow. You may die tonight. And if you're stuck in your sin and have not repented of it, where does that leave you? according to this scripture. And I can give you several more. A lot of Christians like holding on to their baggage. They think it's a badge of honor. You know, I carry my past around. It justifies their behaviors. It allows them to come up with the excuses that I can't do this because of that. I'm not impressed that you're carrying something that you weren't designed to carry. That's called stupidity. When Jesus died on the cross, He became a sin offering for us. He took your baggage and my baggage once and for all, for all the world, for all time, and He nailed it on the cross and He died on there. And He took your punishment and my punishment of disobedience and rebellion against God and said, it's done. You don't need to do anything. I've done it all for you. But when you do something, once you've come into the light, you need to do this. Is that not what He has instructed us? He has. Well, Pastor, you're saying that, you know, I don't have to do, I have to be. Absolutely correct. But you don't understand the depth of what I'm talking about. To be who you are is to renounce your previous life and to allow Jesus Christ to flow out of you. You don't have to do something. It's already in you. You're a new creation. You're a spirit person, a supernatural being, encapsulated in a body of flesh and blood that is full of sin. And the warfare starts in between our ears, in our minds, to keep this flesh from dragging us down. It's dead. Romans tells us to reckon our flesh as dead. Consider it dead. Whatever it wants, don't give in to it. Because it is of a lower nature, of a debased nature, and you are of royalty. You're a high, divine person, created in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's why the exhortation goes forward. We must submit everything to God. Let the light come into our hearts. Let it come in and let it examine us. But I've done some wicked things. Yeah, so have I. And God forgave me. And in His patience, and in His great love and His great mercy and great grace that He pours out, He will do the same for you. And when you mess up, you repent. You get it under the blood. You don't say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That just means you got caught. Repenting means you're forsaking it. You're leaving it. You're not going to let it control you anymore. You see, we as the church must do the will of God. And the will of God is for us to live sanctified lives. A life separated from the world, but we live in the world. Separated, but in. Is your life separated? If someone comes in and looks at you and says, and you say, I'm a Christian, and they look at you, can they tell that you're a Christian or are you just flipping words out there? Because your life should be separate from what they see in everyday life. I can't answer that for you. I can only answer for myself. And I pray to God that my life is changing more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I submit to Him. I let Him have His way. I don't like it all the time. And I tell Him I don't like it. And sometimes I say to Him, you know, I'm afraid, God. I'm not sure where you're taking me in this. And He says to me, do you trust me, my son? Do you trust me? Do you believe that what I'm leading you into is for your good? Yeah, I believe. And I go through it. Whatever it is. We need to get into the Word. We need to know what He says. Not just think we know what it says, but know what it says. And I'm not talking about us becoming Bible thumpers. I'm talking about having the Word, His Word, written upon our hearts in such a way that we know. I'm not saying chapter and verse, but I'm saying that you know, we know what the Word of God says. And I'm not a chapter verse guy, but I know what the Word of God says. Why? Because it's in my heart. I hid God's Word so I would not sin against Him, is what David said. And we live our lives less than what He wants. Do you believe He wants to give you an abundant life? A life that is filled with tremendous things. A life that's filled with good things. I've been walking with God for almost 30 years, and finally He says to me, my favor is going to overtake you. And I understand what that means. That means because I've been faithful, because I've been trustworthy, because I've acknowledged my sin before Him. I stand in the light as He's in the light. I allow Him to mold me and shape me the way He wants me molded and shaped. All of us must do that. To think we're above that is to be deceived by the enemy. We must all walk in the light. For what purpose? For the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, your sin and my sin stink. The difference is, I know how to get rid of it once I do it. How about you? When was the last time you really got real with God? When was the last time that God said to you, you know what? You just can't keep doing this anymore. And you just go, yeah, God, I know. But, you know, there's your grace. You see, I'm going to tell you a little secret that happens for those who are disobedient to the gospel. Two things happen. One, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who is so gentle with us and tries to get us to pay attention when He convicts us that we've done something wrong. And that conviction is in our heart and is made known to our conscience, which is in our mind. The longer we do not repent, He will leave us. He will leave you. And you won't know when He has left you. You won't know because the anointing is gone. And you can deceive yourself thinking that you're in the faith when you are not in the faith. And that is one of Satan's greatest ploys, is to delay the repentant process. Because he knows that when the anointing is gone, because it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage in our lives. When he knows that the Holy Spirit has gone from us, the second thing happens, and that is God has withdrawn, and now the devourer comes. And the devourer comes because of our disobedience. We have given him the title right to come in and afflict us through our families, through our jobs, through our finances, through our vehicles, through our health. See what the Word God says. If we do what He says to do, He tells us in Malachi, He gives us one example of it. But He says, see if I will not rebuke the devourer from you and open up a window of blessings that you cannot contain. Well, I believe the window of blessing is coming upon me, because I'd like to be like my Father. I like to give. I like to give lavishly, even when it hurts me to give. Have you ever been at a place where you were invited to go to some affair and you're down to your last 50 bucks or 20 bucks and you say, I can't go. I don't have money for the rest of the week. And you don't go. Do you understand that you just made a decision to destroy something? You've been used by the enemy because it's not predicated on you. It's predicated on him.
He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that provides for us. If He says to give up your last dollar, do you believe that He'll be able to sustain you for the week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks? The examples are throughout the Bible. But we have forgotten that God's responsible for us, not us. We're responsible for our actions, and we're responsible to keep building our faith. And I can't tell you the times we've been invited to things and people didn't know, my kids didn't know, that we didn't have dollars, nickels, pennies to rub together after we left that. But some way, God saw us through. God made something happen. I went to a Bible study one time, and we got all done praying and stuff. We'd come home, and I opened up my Bible, and there's a $20 bill that I knew was not in my Bible. And we did not solicit. Who do you think put it there? I believe it was God. And if He's willing to do that for me, to begin to build my faith in Him, how much more do you think He wants to do for you? He wants to sustain you. Becky, what has God done for you? And that's how we encourage ourselves. What He has done for us. How He's going to make a way for us when we don't see the way. We need to press into this relationship with God. For unto it is the power of salvation that the world needs to see. Too long the world has seen Christians that aren't Christians. I wouldn't even want their Christianity. I like the freedom I have in Jesus Christ. I like to relate to my Father. I like to relate to His people. We need to understand that this world is under tremendous strain and pressure to continue its rebellion against God. But it is the church's responsibility to live in complete unity and compliance with God and show that what you give up in the world, you receive so much more in return. Because God is that good to us. We need to stand in the light, guys. We need to allow God to examine us. He calls us saints. He calls us kings and priests. He calls us holy. He calls us righteous. He calls us a lot of things, but yet you don't believe it. My kids know what I believe. Because they see it lived out day by day. And I know what you believe because I see it lived out day by day in your lives. I just want to exhort you. Don't stop. Don't stop. Jettison the old junk from the past. Jettison a lifestyle that is in compliance to the world. Jettison and begin to learn what God has said to do. If it means getting rid of some people out of your life, get rid of them. Because guess what? They could be the ones that are holding you back from receiving the next blessing of God. Things aren't going right in your life. Could be because you're not right with God. Because He's asked you to do some things that you're just not willing to give up. Maybe you're involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in. Is God first in your life? Is God really important to you? Or is it just something to do on a Sunday morning? Believe me, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe. I'd be sleeping in. I wouldn't be serving according to the dream, vision. I didn't serve. I can do a whole lot of other things. But I think that what God's got me doing to help you get set free and live a life in the fullness of Jesus Christ is far more rewarding than living for myself. Stand. Father, we just stand before you, Lord. You call us to stand in the light, God. You are here now, Father, and your light is shining. Father, permeate the darkness that's in our hearts. And help us to cut away that garbage that would hinder our relationship with you, that would hinder us from receiving the fullness that you have for us. Father, help us to get real with you, because this is real now. You're asking us to walk together, to do your will, to live your way, to allow your life to shine forth to a dying and hurting world, filled with dying and hurting people. God, help us. Help us, God, to get real with you, to repent, to get it under the blood. Holy Spirit, do not leave us. Do not leave us. Do not give up on us. But help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear the gentleness of your conviction within our spirits, that we may continue to walk as a holy and righteous people. That, Father, as we prepare to enjoy this day, let us not forget the exhortation of Paul given to the Ephesians and to streams today, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us, and that we are a people destined not to attain victory, but to live the victory of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, to give Him praise and to give Him glory and to give Him all worship and honor. For it was by Him and Him alone that we are able to stand in your light. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.